You need a long shot for a big score? You need Silly Underdog Picks.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It may be a long shot, but it's all you've got. It's time to pick your dark horse.
Not your nose.
This is Silly Underdog Picks.
Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Silly Underdog Picks. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Underdog.
There's no need to fear.
Underdog is here.
Underdog is here.
It is pretty interesting. I don't think I've ever really caught that as much in the open about picking your nose. And it does feel like one of the contestants has been picking his nose this season. Welcome into Silly Underdog Picks, everybody. Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase. God. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, two of the contestants. Willie Donick is the commish. He is also standing by. I hear Forever Titan Chris Sanders. Chris, did you know Dwayne called into the show on Friday and put me on the list?
I heard he put you on the list. You deserve to be on the list. I mean, you're
backing up Dwayne?
These crazy games. What?
You're backing up Dwayne?
Oh, kind of, but he's on alert, man. I mean, just like, you know, the offensive coordinators for the Titans haven't been doing well. He's been the OC, so he's on alert, buddy.
Okay. He's not a very nice guy.
No, but let me tell you something. I don't even like you right now. I mean, you've been winning. You've been gloating and been sending text messages and all this stuff. But guaranteed, I'm on the hunt, baby.
On the hunt.
What
does that mean? You're on the hunt for what?
Like,
Thanksgiving
I don't know.
Turkey?
I don't know.
What does
good.
That mean?
I don't know. It just sounds good.
Pumpkins.
No, Chris, I'm here to. I'm going to give you some motivation. I say stick
Thank
with
you.
It. Yeah, I've been studying these games you've been picking. You are
Thank
right
you.
There. You're right there. We're going to go over this again. This is
somebody cares.
Yes, I care.
Somebody cares. I love thee. How can I count thee ways? I love thee.
Okay.
So you care. You care to give Chris an attaboy and prop him up and make him feel better, but you can't send out congratulatory tweets when the rest
right.
of us win games.
No, look, the guy's 0-10. All right, he's 0-10. He needs a pick me up.
Yeah.
We've got to balance things out a little
Look,
bit.
Let me. Just,
I mean, I feel like Darren 2 years ago. I mean, I understand how he feels. I mean, he didn't have any points, and you know, he was giving it his all. So I actually feel I understand how Darren feels. I mean,
you know what it was like when I was picking my nose, right? Because that's
what
I felt like that season. Yeah,
absolutely.
But now I'm picking and pulling out gold because I'm 7-3.
There you go.
Some there gold
go.
Nuggets.
There you go. I mean, dude, you getting those by accident.
Accident?
Absolutely. You're not.
Accident?
Them.
7-3?
Huh?
7-3 in 10 games is an accident?
That's an accident. That is straight. How can you go from worst to first? That's an accident.
No, it's called doing your homework, making the right hires in the offseason, coming out
that's
strong.
Coach.
It's called a rebound.
That's
called the 1991 Atlanta Braves.
That's what it's talking.
Thank you,
if
Chase.
If you give it your all, if you put your prepared, get out of here.
Let's bring in former quarterback. He is bitter today. Let's bring in Kelly Holcomb. Kelly, just go along with your theme of what you've saying about the commissioner who's been overpaid and overextended with contracts. I told him, I was like, on Monday's show, I was like, I've won 7 games this year, and you haven't sent out one damn congratulatory tweet. You know,
yeah, I've sent out congratulatory.
You have.
I mean,
you have.
But like Tess, I've been proud. I mean, you've done really well this year. It's unbelievable. Like Chris won he won 2 years ago because he just was throwing darts at a dartboard, and he acts like he knows what he's doing, and he still don't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Right. Like
I mean,
the.
Let's be honest about that. He still doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he's 0-10. But hey, it is what it is.
Yeah. He's. I don't know what he's pulling out of his nose, but it's not gold nuggets. That's for sure.
When I win, if I accidentally win a game, you are all going to hear about
if
it.
If you accidentally win a game, my friend,
at least you
almost did with UConn. That was the scare of a lifetime.
Oh
I can tell you.
Oh, it doesn't end there.
No,
it doesn't
he's come
end
close.
There.
I mean, he has come close on some of these. I think he may have covered at least in college football. He's starting to at least cover.
Yeah, he's starting to at least cover.
He's covered easily in some ways.
But Kelly brings up another good point. Like, it's not even really about social media. Like, even, like, our group text, like, everybody's been very nice and very, you know, congratulatory. Like, even the commish doesn't say anything on the group text. Nothing. We get
that's
nothing
not true.
From him.
I had a congratulations on all the nice picks text. And I get a lot of groans.
That's
always wish you guys luck right after we recap the picks, and I get a lot of whatever. You know, there's a lot of groaning, and so I just figure, why bother, you know?
But because we know deep down that you really don't mean it.
It's very phony. It's just very phony. That's what it is.
You're just towing the company.
So why are you? So why does Darren keep begging me to give him affirmation and attaboys?
Because you've done it before with everybody else, and now you've stopped.
I'm just waiting for Chris to score. When he does, there'll be some huge congratulations coming socially. Great. Yes.
Great. Oh, my gosh. This is the week two, baby.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's review.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your commissioner speaking. Welcome in.
That song.
Welcome once again to Silly Underdog Picks 2021, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We continue to have week after week fun, frivolity, and we had a great online contest again this week, and I want to congratulate Dottie Hale from Springfield, Tennessee, that pulled out a 27-point week and got the weekly prize. And we want you to play with us every week. You go ahead and pick three games, college or pro, whatever mix you want. People tend to lean towards the tradition of the college game, but you can pick whatever you want. And Dottie got 27 points. She wins the weekly prize. The most popular picks of the week, gentlemen. Arkansas, 22% of our audience went down with the Hogs, who did not score against Georgia. The next most popular pick.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss against Alabama. 20% went down with that Lane Kiffin ship.
Man, and then the sunk early.
The third most popular pick was the Falcons of Bowling Green. They went with Chris Sanders. Now that was a little, that was an interesting game, which we're going to get to in a moment.
Fun fact about the Falcons of Bowling Green, that they are the only remaining team that has gone 5-0 against the spread this year in college football.
And let me give you one other very popular pick. 17% of the audience selected UConn against Vanderbilt. Which I actually was a little surprised that none of you went with UConn.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we knew when you're not used to winning and you have two teams that are playing each other that are not used to winning, you see what you saw on Saturday.
Wouldn't that have been the best, guys, if Chris would have gone back to that UConn well and lost 2 weeks in a row like that with the Huskies? That would have been the – I mean, silly underdog pick gold right there.
Can I just point something out for a second that Willie just said? When you're not used to winning, that is a very nice way. That's like if a guy or a girl tells you, you know, I'm not into you. You have a great personality. But that's like them telling you that, yeah, you're not attracted. I'm not attracted to you. But you have a great personality. Like you're letting them down gentle. I feel like you just said these are two bad teams. That's basically what you said.
Listen, the Washington Post did an article about the UConn-Vanderbilt game going into Saturday. Okay, Saturday morning, the Washington Post singled out this game between these two programs. So that ought to let you know. And so one team was favored by 2 touchdowns over the other team when both of them have had a lot of struggles.
Oh, not used to winning.
So that was not a bad logic to take UConn. But, of course, Vanderbilt pulled it out, thank goodness, to get the dub. All right, let's review what happened with the insiders last week. Chase McCabe had the first pick. He selected the University of Kentucky. He went up to the Commonwealth. 7.5-point dog against Florida. We made fun of them because, Darren, what was their record against Florida over the last 34?
1-33.
1-33.
Wow.
But now they're 2-33 because Kentucky wins it 20-13. Chase, well done.
Thank you very much. As Michelle from our morning show says, it was a good catter day.
It was a catter day. And now they've got the LSU Tigers this week. They're not. They're not an underdog this time.
Kentucky's
getting the spotlight is starting to shine on them a little bit more. Let's see what the glare does. Darren McFarland had the second pick, and he had an interesting one. He went with the Stanford Cardinal, an 8-point home dog against Oregon. Now Oregon late in the game. I think I saw on the ticker. I don't know who determines this. I don't know all the math involved, but Oregon had a 99% win
That's
probability.
Correct. Yep.
With I don't know how many minutes left in the game, and Stanford pulls it out in overtime, 31-24.
Oregon
before
had
that
been
final
down.
Drive before that final drive, it was a 99% chance of winning.
But thank goodness for Darren and the 1%, because Stanford wins it.
So you're Darren, telling good pick. Me there's a chance.
Yeah, so you're telling me there's a chance. And Darren, you got it. Kudos.
That's good. That's good. I changed my tune on Stanford.
I was sitting right next to him at Bridgestone Arena in our new place in Patron Club, and we were both paying attention to the Kentucky Florida game and Stanford Oregon for many reasons.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So the third pick, now we get to Chris Sanders, looking for his first win of the season.
Chris.
He went into the Mid-American Conference, some action, if you will, and selected the Falcons of Bowling Green. They were going on the road to Kent, Ohio, to take on the Kent State Golden Flashes. Bowling Green getting 16.5. Bowling Green scores to go up 20-13 with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. They got a chance. Kent State ties the game. The game is still tied going into the final minutes. Kent State scores with about 6 minutes left to take a 27-20 lead. Bowling Green's got one more chance, but they can't make the drive to win it. Kent State hangs on 27-20. But Chris, again, you had a big chunk in your hand, 16.5 points. So 2 weeks in a row. Just think about the way the ball bounces. If you get UConn and Bowling Green, you're in the lead. You're that close. So you're so close. Stick to your guns. Stick to your guns.
Hey, as long as I give him my all, that's all that matters.
Can't wait to see.
I will give my all for Tennessee today.
You've kind of run out of speeches, haven't you?
Yeah. But I guess my all wasn't good enough.
Oh, my. All right. So Chris falls, and that brings us to Kelly. He went with his philosophy, which is just to get the small gains week after week. He went with Georgia Tech, a 3-point dog against Pittsburgh.
That didn't work well.
It did not. Pittsburgh goes into Atlanta and trounces the Yellow Jackets 52-21. 52-21. Coach Narduzzi in the Panthers, not bad. That win over Tennessee is looking a little bit better, too, for them.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They got a quarterback. He can throw the ball, man. They're not a bad team.
Yeah, that guy's pretty good. Kelly then turns right around and goes to the pros and selects the Cardinals, a 4.5-point dog playing against the undefeated Rams, a pair of unbeatens, and the Cardinals win surprisingly easy, 37-20, and it wasn't even that close. So Kelly picks up 4.5. How about the Cardinals 4-0?
Pretty good, man. I told you. I mean, they came down here to Nashville, and you got to see a little bit of their defense. And then Kyler Murray, I mean, he's just it's hard to contain that kid. I mean, he can run around. You think you have him, and he makes things happen. That's what I kind of thought, going into the Rams game. So, hey, good pick.
A very good pick.
I'll do something that the commissioner will not do, Kelly. I'll do his work for him. You actually have hit on 4 of your 5 NFL games this year.
Wow.
Nice. Well, the only, appreciate it.
In fact, that's not true. That's not true, because in week 1, we didn't pick an NFL game. So you actually have hit your NFL game every single week.
Nice. Thanks, Darren.
Like I said, I'm doing the commission's job.
What
too.
Did you say?
I said, are y'all dating? What is going on?
It's a love fest.
What a bromance.
I'm just saying, Kelly has nailed all of his NFL picks. Saints, Cowboys, Falcons, Arizona.
About the only thing I've got going for me, because college is not turning out well.
So Kelly is 5-5 on the season. We'll go over the standings in a moment. The next pick belonged to Chris Sanders. He went with the Steelers, 6.5-point dogs, taking on Green Bay. It's been a rough go for the Steelers. They have slipped to the bottom of their division. They fall 27-17, and so Chris comes up short there.
Yeah, Big Ben looks like your picks.
Yeah,
old and slow.
He looks old.
Yeah. Kelly, I think you could do a better job than Ben right now.
He's
been around for a long time, man. He still can throw it. Can't move, but he can throw it.
Yep.
Darren McFarland had the next pick. And
by the way, have you guys noticed, like, Chris literally has nothing else to say? Like, he's used up all of his material.
That's why I'm trying to pick him up. He's beat down a little bit.
I'm just trying to plug away and just give him my all.
trying to go 1-0 every week.
But you guarantee, if I win half of a game, I'm blowing up all y'all's phones. I don't care if it's half a game.
It's okay. I have you on Do Not Disturb. It's fine.
Then Darren shocked everybody last week with the third pick at the pros and took a team that he has absolutely torched on the air, the New York Football Giants. 7.5-point dogs against the Saints, and lo and behold, the Giants get their first win of the year.
The G-men.
They finally win the close game. They had been losing some razor's edge games, but they find a way to beat the Saints. Elijah's not very happy about this behind the glass, but Darren goes 2-0 in the week, and he picks up a grand total of, let me do the quick math, I'm looking, 15 and a half points.
I'm doing your job for you.
Wow.
Yep.
Somebody had.
You want me to give you Chase's pick?
Well, Chase selected the Raiders, a 3-point dog against the Chargers. The double-edged sword
didn't work
for Chase because we had a couple of key Chargers on our fantasy team going, and the Chargers get the win 28-14. So Chase not only loses the game in the underdogs, but also our fantasy team lost as well. So it was a double whammy. Yeah. Chargers jumped out 21-0. Raiders come close. They get it to 21-14. They get the crowd going, and they did have a lot of people rooting for them, even though the game was in Los Angeles, but the Chargers pull it out. So at the end of 5 weeks, here are the standings. Darren McFarland with the 2-0 week, a commanding 41.5 points, a 7-3 record. Kelly Holcomb with a 5-5 record, steady, but only 21 points. So the short gains, now he's got a little deficit to work with here. Let's see how that plays into his strategy going into week six. Chase McCabe picks up his second win. He's got 12 points in third place. And then Chris, still winless on the season at 0-10, but so close to 47 points. But, again, no points for a cover.
Thanks.
Keep plugging away, buddy.
He's got to pick himself back up.
They just keep chopping wood.
All right. Week six coming up, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Darren, with the lead, has the first pick, followed by Chris Sanders, the forever Titan, then the NFL veteran Kelly Holcomb, Chase McCabe with the wraparound picks, the final college pick, the first pro pick, and then on down the line. Okay, we're coming back with more of the Silly Underdog Picks after this. It is time for the picks. Week number six of competition in the Silly Underdogs 2021, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. This is the commissioner speaking, Willie Donick, and we will hear the picks from Darren McFarland, who has the lead going into week six, followed by Chris Sanders, winless after 5 weeks, looking to get on the board, Kelly Holcomb with the third pick, followed by Chase McCabe. Let's get the college pick started with the leader, Darren McFarland.
Guardian.
Dun, dun.
It's the hits, the homers, the double plays.
It's how you feel when we win.
When we win.
So catch.
Guardian.
Be a believer with the Cleveland Indians. Dun, 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 dun. I don't love the College Board, just to be perfectly
it's awful.
Honest.
I think it's awful.
It's not good. It's just not good.
Not a lot of meat on the bone.
There's really not. I'm tempted with Stanford again, but nah, not going there. I'm going to take a flyer. I watched Wake Forest eke out a win over Louisville. They're undefeated, but they've been eking out a lot of wins.
A lot of groans.
Syracuse is at home. I'll take Syracuse. Give me the orange, plus six.
It's a good pick. I had it.
The orange, a 6-point home dog against undefeated and 19th-ranked Wake Forest. Now, say those words with me again. Undefeated and 19th-ranked Wake Forest.
Yeah, they're. I don't want to – fraud may be a little bit of extreme, but I'm just saying they're okay. They're okay. I don't really know how good they are.
We shall find out as they go to upstate New York. Syracuse is 3-2. All right, Darren has made the pick. That brings us to Chris Sanders looking for his first win of the season.
Yeah.
All righty.
He's defeated.
You know, just like that song, I Need Some Help. It's kind of like that commercial where the lady falls and it's like, I can't get up. But this is the week we get up, baby.
You got to sell it better than that, Chris.
I know, but I'm kind of upset right now. I'm going with Arizona over UCLA.
Oh, boy.
Oh, somebody had that?
No.
Oh. Yeah, I better have a couple of cheers. Can I get a cheer or like, oh, it's not going to take long.
Arizona.
Arizona stinks.
0-4 on the season is a 16-point home dog against 3-2 UCLA. And this is on ESPN at 9:30 on Saturday night. So this could be some fun late night entertainment for all of us if Arizona can come through.
They will.
I think he's got a shot. Like, UCLA is better, yeah, but
somebody cares, dangummit. Somebody cares.
Arizona's pretty bad.
They're bad.
They are pretty bad, but you never know, man. There's been some crazy games. UConn's even worse. And they must be Wyoming.
True.
Arizona lost to the Lumberjacks. They lost to Northern Arizona. I'm just saying.
Can I do my pick over?
It's a card laid, it's a card played.
Okay.
It's in.
All right,
the pick is in. All right, that brings us to a guy that had quarterbacked NFL teams for over a decade. He's the former champion. He is the defending champion for the Silly Underdog competition. It's Kelly Holcomb.
Run a try line.
I'm going to get me a catfish.
Somebody caught a gigantic catfish the other day. It was all over social media.
I saw that.
Well, I am not going to go into panic mode just yet, but if Darren keeps going, I am going to have to. So the coach said, hey, get your popcorn ready last week.
Oh.
So I am going to say, I just like watching these dudes play. Arkansas is fun to watch. I mean, they played a pro team last week and had nothing for them. Georgia's like on a different level right now. I think that they're going to go back down to Ole Miss and beat the Rebels.
Very intriguing game. Two teams that got into the spotlight, got the attention, and then were beat down by the big boys. Arkansas at 4-1, coming off the embarrassing loss between the hedges. 5.5-point dogs taking on Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss Rebels, who had the snowball just go flying down the hill at the end of the first half against Alabama before they figured it out. So Arkansas 5.5 is the pick. I think it's a sound pick.
11 o'clock kickoff. ESPN.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
And you can find it. It's not like the Northern Arizona picked earlier in the year.
That's right.
You can find it.
That brings us to Chase McCabe, coming off back-to-back weeks where he's got him W's in both, trying to get back into this thing. What does he have in store?
All right. As some good picks have just gone off the board, I was hoping nobody would take this one because I thought it could fall to me, but I'm going to give it a shot here. I feel like this team has been used on Silly Underdogs more than anybody in history almost, but the Wyoming Cowboys.
No
oh
way.
Is
Wyoming like trying to get – are they trying to get like applicants to the local high school kids from Nashville or something?
They're undefeated. They are 4-0, and they are a 6-point dog on the road at Air Force, who's at 4-1. And Air Force is a good team, but I think Wyoming is too.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. They beat UConn by two. They were favored by 5 touchdowns.
Well, wins are wins, Darren.
It's a knee state.
All I need is a W. I don't care if it's by 1 or 40.
Okay.
Very interesting. Wyoming. And yes, they have been involved in, let's see, at least three of their games so far, if not four. It might be four. With that said, Chase, you still have the board, and now we move on to the professional ranks.
Yes. So last week, good pick by you, Kelly, going with the Arizona Cardinals. But I think that the hangover is going to be a real thing this week. The 49ers, I think, are a good team. They're dealing with injuries. Trey Lance going to get his first start. I like the Niners. Plus 5.5.
The 49ers are a 5.5-point dog heading to Glendale, Arizona to take on the undefeated Arizona Cardinals. 49ers at 2-2. All right, that brings us to Kelly Holcomb for his pro pick.
Well, everybody was on Carolina. You know, they started out 3-0. They got beat last week. And I think they're going to get beat again. I think Philly goes down there and beats them again.
Oh. Whoa. So, he goes with the Philadelphia Eagles, one of his former teams, Kelly Holcomb, and I'm scrolling down.
I was there for a cup of tea there, Willie, so I really wouldn't say one of my former teams.
But you got a jersey, right? There's a jersey with Holcomb on it that's an Eagles jersey.
I stayed there for like 2 weeks, dude, and then I got traded. So, yeah, I mean, I was there a little bit longer, but seriously. I don't really consider them a former team.
Okay, so you won't be, like, donning this jersey and, like,
no.
Singing the Fly Eagles Fly song or anything like that. You
no,
just want
I've
them to win.
I've got the helmet and the jersey, and Andy Reid was good to me. But, I wasn't really part of that.
All right, the Eagles are a 3-point dog as they head to Carolina to take on the Panthers. Eagles at 1-3, so it is desperation time for them. It's an interesting pick. That brings us to Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir. This one kind of intrigues me. I think they're 1-3 or 1-4 or something like that. But I think that Frank Wright is going to get them on the right track. And I'm going with Indianapolis over Baltimore.
Wow, man, you guys.
That's going to be interesting right there, Bob.
You guys took my picks.
All three of us did?
Yes.
I like the pick. The Colts are a 7-point dog in Baltimore against the Ravens. I think people have to be pretty impressed that they have gone 3-1 despite all of their injury issues, but the Colts trying to work their way back into it. Tough, tough game in Baltimore.
You know what? I think Chris might get his first win.
Colts was my number one pick.
Two wins.
49ers are my first
win. I'm not going to give you the college one, but I'll give you this one.
All right. That brings us to Darren McFarland. He started it off, and he will finish it.
In scramble mode.
Oh, there's a good one on here.
It is.
But Colts and 49ers, those are the two.
There's a team that got you a W last week, Darren.
Not doing it.
No?
Not doing it.
No?
Nope.
G-Men.
I'm going to take a flyer on – none of us really thought they were for real. They finally stumbled and lost. I still don't believe they're for real. So I'll take the Bears.
The Bears.
I don't think the Raiders are the real deal.
The Bears at 2-2, who have named Justin Fields the starter for forever, basically, or for the foreseeable. They are a 5.5-point dog in Las Vegas to take on the 3-1 Raiders, who are coming off that. So they have a short week.
Short week.
Coming off of the Monday night game where the Chargers handed it to them. All right. Let us review the picks for the Silly Underdogs. Week number 6, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Darren McFarland, the leader in the competition, a sizable lead right now. He goes with the Orange of Syracuse University, a 6-point home dog in the ACC, taking on undefeated and 19th-ranked Wake Forest. Chris Sanders, winless on the season, trying to get back in the competition, again sticking with his plan, going for big underdogs, big chunks. He takes on the 0-4 Arizona Wildcats from the Pac-12. They're a 16-point dog playing in the desert at home against 3-2 UCLA. Kelly Holcomb, picking third, selects the Arkansas Razorbacks, having a solid year, but they ran into a Mack truck last week in Athens. But they're a 5.5-point dog heading down to Oxford to take on Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss Rebels, a pair of top 25 teams. Then Chase McCabe in third place right now, quietly trying to work his way back into the competition. Selects the often picked Wyoming Cowboys. Undefeated, 4-0 in the Mountain West Conference. A six-point dog traveling on the road to Air Force. The Falcons at 4-1. Chase then turns around into the pro ranks and goes with the 2-2 San Francisco 49ers. 5.5-point dogs against undefeated Arizona in Glendale. Kelly Holcomb goes with one of his former teams.
He said he does not want to be associated with
it. But he has the helmet. He has the jersey.
I know, but let's get over it, Willie.
Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are 1-3. Maybe this will inspire them. They're a three-point dog to take on the 3-1 Carolina Panthers. Is Christian McCaffrey going to play this week? That's something we got to find out. Chris Sanders goes with the Indianapolis Colts, seeing a window to get back in the race in the AFC South. They're a seven-point dog going to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. So some Baltimore ties going back. And then finally, Darren McFarland goes with the Bears. Chicago, 2-2, 5.5-point dogs heading to Vegas to take on the 3-1 Raiders. Remember, you can play along with us by going to thegamenashville.com, making your three selections. Saturday morning at 10 is the cutoff. You can do any combination of college or pro picks. So those are our picks for week number 6. Gentlemen, good luck.
Thank you.
Don't mean it.
Kelly, who do you guys have this week?
We are off.
You're off. All right. Yeah. Well, good luck with your off week.
Yeah, we have the mighty Oakland next Friday night.
Yeah, next Kelly,
it's on.
Woo!
Next week's going to be a fun one for sure.
I hope so. We'll see.
Wow, that is going to be a Titanic clash.
Sure
with
all right, Kelly. Good luck. Have a great weekend. Thanks for doing this.
All right, fellas. Talk to you.
Chris, who do you guys have this week?
We got a tough game. We got Ensworth. The Ensworth is they got some ballers on their team, so we got to come out and play. But I just want to know this question: are you coming to the game?
Me?
Yeah. No, Henry. You coming?
No, I'm not.
But seriously, last week, guess who actually showed up to my game? One of my friends did.
Who's that? Forever Titan Chris Sanders. It's a good matchup, though. I won't be there, but it's a really good matchup.
Oh, if you do go, you're going to see some good football.
Yeah.
Good players. Good. Darren won't be going, though.
Well, we'll come back. By the way, we'll head down to Jacksonville at 1 o'clock. We'll learn a little bit more about the Jags. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD products curated for life. Chase, tell everybody where you'll be drinking Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey on Saturday.
I am going to be, on the west side. I mean, I'm going to be in Bellevue, Highway 100, the Brew House there on Highway 100, as we have the game of the week. Chasers Tailgate have enjoyed meeting a lot of you at these things. So you can come by 8098 Highway 100, and there's beer specials, watch the SEC game of the week, which I believe the next 3 weeks are going to pretty much be Georgia. So you can come watch the Georgia game with me. And have some great beer specials and great food. Come say hi. We'll be there starting at 2:30.
All right. Like I said, we'll head down to Jacksonville coming up in about 15 minutes. I did see Falcons and Jets. We have our first installment of London this early Sunday morning, and it'll be the Jets and the Falcons. And I saw where Calvin Ridley will not be traveling with Atlanta.
Mm.
I'd probably like to have my pick again. I would probably take the Jets.
I looked at that, but I just kind of feel good about the Niners.
Yeah, no, I like that pick. But, yeah, no Calvin Ridley. Yikes. He's missing the game due to a personal matter. So don't know what's going on there. We talked a lot about the Titans' injury report. By the way, we'll have some audio from over at their complex today as they spoke after practice, getting ready for Jacksonville. It was about two pages worth of injuries. And the thing that a couple things that jumped out, one of the 21 names on there, two of them were full participants, and it was Caleb Farley was one of them, which was a big surprise by a lot of people. And so there's a lot of DNPs did not practice, and it's guys that they're going to need. Is, you know, is Jayon Brown in trouble? Is Julio Jones going to miss another one? Is Brett Kern going to miss another one? Taylor Lewan did not practice, albeit this is a Wednesday practice. Have you guys seen anything on today's?
No, not yet.
I haven't either.
The injury report will – it usually comes out like right when we're done.
I know.
But my guess is I'm still not sure on A.J. Brown, if that means he's going to go, you know, with what was yesterday. But I think Kern's probably out again, if I had to guess, just with – you know, the groin, you gotta be careful there as a punter. Julio's not playing. Is he? I don't see that happening. And then the other 16, I'll go through. But those two off the top of my head, I would say
AJ Brown was limited, although Julio missing a Wednesday practice probably is not ever alarming. I get it. He's coming off a game where he didn't play, but is Julio missing a Wednesday practice ever have anybody's radar up? I think probably Atlanta would be like, yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. But I don't know. I mean, he's obviously dealing with a hamstring. That's a big deal for a receiver, so
sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't. I know they've done interviews and everything, but this is usually when you start seeing some posts of what actually happened in practice. So I have not seen anything yet on who was out there and who wasn't.
We had an interesting read yesterday, and the more I thought about it, or was it yesterday? The shows are starting to run together. I don't remember if it was yesterday or the day before. From ESPN, Seth Walder. Was that yesterday?
The analytics? Yeah, that was yesterday.
Yeah, in the last hour. It was pretty – I don't know. The more I thought about it, I'm like, gosh, you do wonder, is this – how big of a deal is this? Because to me, it's a big deal. I mean, you cannot ignore it in today's game, in professional sports, and especially in the NFL. Such a huge, huge business, billions of dollars at stake. I mean, you're supposed to have the best of everything, and you certainly don't want to be behind the times when it comes to something like this, which is being used in every sport. But the article came out, and they sent out a questionnaire, 13 questions to someone for each team that would be in, let's just say, deals with analytics with the team. And they got 22 responses back. And they said the telltale sign for them that the Titans weren't up to speed with analytics is going back to last year's playoff game here on the 4th-and-2 play that we talked about a lot, where they didn't go for it, where analytics, if you were, and I guess, a team that was using analytics – we're discussing analytics. It was a part of, at least a part of your culture in some way, somehow. They're saying it would have been screaming for you to go for it in that case, and they didn't go for it. And what came out of it is the Titans just hired their first person, their first staffer under, I guess, that label, analytics, and that was done in August. And so they were dead last in the league when it came to analytics. Browns and the Ravens were the two best teams of, I guess, using analytics the most and, I guess, giving it the most attention. And we knew that the Browns were pretty heavy with that, but the Ravens coming in second. But how alarming is it that the Titans seem to be behind everybody? And when you looked at the numbers, seem to be way behind everybody when it comes to that department.
I'd like to see some follow-up questions from the people that cover the team just to get the Titans' perspective on it, how they use it. I can remember Jim Schwartz going back years and years when he was the defensive coordinator. He had sort of his own analytics. I think he noticed in an interview we did with him during training camp, I had the big thick book of football outsiders. Back then it was called Football Prospectus. And he was a guy that would endorse. He was on the back of the book. Hey, this is good stuff, basically. You know, they asked him.
Right.
And so he was on board early with analytics. I'm wondering, since he's come over and come back to the team, where he is on this as he observes how they do things, what he's brought to the table, because that is part of what he does. And it's not as much, you know, a guy who's never played football. I think when people hear the word analytics, they immediately picture some nerd who went to MIT.
With a pocket protector.
With a pocket protector, a protractor.
Glasses. Yeah. Glasses. Yeah, yeah. Tape on the glasses.
You know, from Revenge of the Nerds, the movie, central casting, sitting in a room with a computer. But football coaches for a long time, especially as technology has come, you're not sitting in a film room splicing film together or even the VHS tape. It's a lot more efficient now being able to put clips together digitally. You can get tendencies a lot more. And that's where Jim Schwartz would talk about years ago what he liked to do. He says, you tell me the down and distance of an offense. Okay, it's 3rd and 8. I'll tell you what their tendencies are. I know off the top of my head. I know right away because I've done the research. That was his form of analytics. So I think that that's in there. But I think there's other things. There's other layers of things that you're always finding out from the guys with the protractors and the, you know, the computer stuff that are saying, hey, just look at all this data we have here. It's telling us some things. Here, let me present it to you, the football coach. Tell me what you think is relevant in here. That's how it should go. And so I do think it's a big deal that they've only had one guy, and he just got there in August. I wonder when they arrived at the decision, hey, we need to hire somebody to get this started. Because as we said yesterday, there are teams throughout sports that don't just have one guy. They have a team of people. They have a staff that are just looking for edges here and there. It's, you know, it's ironic. How did the Astros end up getting busted? They had a guy in Jeff Luhnow who was basically going to their analytics department and saying, find me an edge. Find me something. Let's figure out something we can use. And that's where it was born out of. They had a guy who figured out that if he watched the screen and looked at the signs, he could figure out the sequence. You know, so they had that's one way of doing it, right? So there's always things people are looking for advantages. And so that's where that department can be of use. They're not coaching your team. They're not worried about who's on the injured list and who's in the training room. They're just looking for edges for you. That can be useful stuff.
I hope the Titans embrace.
I'm not saying you find stuff that's not legal, but hey, you know the Patriots have been doing stuff like that for decades.
Of course they have, but I hope that they embrace it. I'm not sure whose idea it was to finally do it, whether it was, you know, Mike Vrabel or John Robinson. I mean, if you really think about it, there are two. That's a move, and then the Jim Schwartz move that happened this offseason, this year. You know that I still sit here and I go, okay, who came up with that? Was that a collective effort? Was it one or the other? Was it, you know, where did that come from? But I think both are good. You know, now I still don't exactly know what Jim Schwartz does. I guess he's truly what his title says. He's a defensive advisor, but I still think it was good to bring him in. But I hope they embrace it because, like we said yesterday, I think that there is a place for the gut feel, the old school mentality, and new school analytics.
I think what concerned me the most about the article is when you look at the 7 teams at the bottom of the heap in this article, this long article by Seth Walter on ESPN.com, the teams that are least analytically advanced, the Titans were the least analytically advanced team by more than double. The next team, the Bengals. The next team, the FTs from Washington. Then the Raiders, and New Orleans, and the Giants, and the Jets. Those 7 teams, and what scares me about that is, you know, New Orleans has certainly had success with Drew Brees. But how's life after Drew Brees going to look like? Well, we're seeing a little bit of a taste of it, and it looks like exactly what Jameis Winston was like in Tampa. Win 1 week, lose the next week. Win 1 week, lose the next week. Win two, lose two. It's just up and down. It's destined to – it's always going to be in that seem like 7, 8, 9-win window. That's what it's going to feel like. And so – but they've done a whole lot of winning. But outside of that, I mean, the Giants, yes, success. But since Eli Manning – well, and really the last couple of years with Eli Manning, it's been going the wrong way. And the Jets, perennial losers. The Raiders have been doing a whole lot of losing. Washington, perennial losers. Bengals, perennial losers. And certainly the Titans have had their big window of taking lumps. And so you don't want to be in that group. That group is at the bottom of the heap in the league. It's teams that we've been basically laughing at. And really – the reason we're not laughing at the Browns anymore because it seems like, according to this article, they've embraced it more than anybody. And now we're talking about the Browns are one of the teams to beat in the AFC. So I don't think that's a category you want to be in. Team that's least analytically advanced, and they're the worst in the league. Like, to me, that's got to change. I'm not saying it's got to be – the new standard has got to be go – all out, everything has got to, man, it's got to be better than this. You don't want to be in that group because we've been doing a whole lot of laughing at some of the, I mean, the only team that's not in there is at the bottom of the heap teams are Jags and Lions, right? It's basically teams everybody's been making fun of for many, many years. You don't want to be in that group.
No, definitely not a place you want to be. So that's why I said, you know, I hope that they use it. I hope they embrace it. So it all gets better.
To be honest, I mean, it's a little late to the party to be talking about giving that speech today, isn't it?
Well,
going into 2022.
Are you surprised, though, that it's late to the party?
Of course not.
Unfortunately, that's just kind of the way it is with them.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but no, of course I'm not surprised.
But that's why I want to hear their approach to it. I'd love to hear somebody that Mike Vrabel is comfortable talking to, you know, not put on the defensive in a press conference where his mind is elsewhere, but I'd love in a sit down. I don't know if Mike Keith is the guy or some national person, you know, it's just philosophically to have the discussion. Okay, how do you use it? You know, why, if you're not using it, if this is true, then why not? Are you coming around to it, or do you already feel like, you know, you have the knowledge that you would get? Because I don't know if it's physically possible to coach your team and just be totally focused on all of the vast data that's out there. You need somebody to process it and break it down for you, what's useful to you. That's not something that all coaches can do on their own. I don't think that coaches have too many things going on in their day. I do think you need a separate department to do it right in this day and age.
That's pretty obvious. The question I have is, was this an actual decision by the head coach, GM, like, hey, we don't need that stuff? Or is this a decision from above their heads of saying, hey, we're not going to spend the money on that stuff? Like, that's what I want to know.
Meaning that Mike Vrabel, the like, answer, in theory, hypothetically, your answer could be, hey, I'd like to bring in three people, but in our budget, we can't do it. I just find that really hard to believe, that if you went to your owner and you said, you know, this doesn't cost us anything against the salary cap, but I need three people on the staff because look at all these other teams. We only have one person. XYZ teams have an entire department. We're lacking here. You think Amy Adams Strunk would say no?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
I have no idea.
But that could be the answer, but I don't know. I find that hard to believe. I mean, she's out there
right
a lot of times saying, tell me what you need to win, and I'll provide it for you. I think the mentality has been received pretty well.
Well, doesn't that concern you then if the answer is the GM and the head coach have felt no need to have that on
that
their staff?
Concerns me a lot, and that's honestly what I think the answer is.
That's concerning then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll come back. We'll head down to Jacksonville. 1010XL. We talk to Tony Smith next.